Now I'm going to preach the shortest sermon you've ever heard. Go. Just not quite yet. Give me about 2 hours. Some people are saying, is he serious? So, question. If you were with us last week, you should know the answer to this. How many sides does a circle have?
Two.
What are they? Inside and outside. Okay. You're one for one so far. So last week we talked about ministry. What is ministry? Full disclaimer, no balloons are involved today. Everybody can relax. Apologize to anybody I may have traumatized with balloons last week. Just saying. What is ministry? We talked about ministry can be standing up here, sharing a message, teaching Sunday school. We talked about last week, what's ministry look like inside the church? So last week we talked about the inside the circle. Today, what we want to talk about is outside the circle. So here's the interactive part again. Ministry outside of our body of believers. Share some of your ideas. What does our church do to minister to people who may not come to our church?
Free meal.
Free meal. By the way, that's coming up on Wednesday. You could probably use some help with that serving if you need help, if you need a ministry area. Some other ideas. Vacation Bible School coming up in a couple weeks. Having a mobile food pantry come through. What else? United Ministries is a big one. Ministry. How many of those things are sharing a message or teaching Sunday school? We're going to talk a little bit about that. What is ministry? It's kind of interesting. We're going to look at three different passages today, kind of some concepts that Jesus shared during his ministry. And we'll see what happens in these. And these are just some thoughts that came to my mind, some things that have been on my mind about what we do as a church and how we minister. I know that we could probably spend the next 20 minutes thinking of ways that our church reaches out to people, but it's interesting. If you look through the Gospels, really the majority of the things that are recorded, now disclaimer, John says these are not all the things that Jesus did or said while he was on earth. A lot of those things happened in a temple, but they're not recorded. The things that we see recorded are, for the majority, outside of the temple. The final comment, or one of the final comments, that Jesus made to his disciples, and this is where the idea of go comes from, is in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm going to share some fine poetry from the end of the 20th century with you. When you let it shine, you will inspire the kind of entire turnaround that will make a bouncer take ballet, even bouncers who aren't happy. But out of the glare with nowhere to turn, you ain't going to learn it on What's My Line. Okay, how many of you have a tune running through your head now? Got a couple. If you're familiar with the group The Newsboys, one of their most well-known songs is the song Shine. The chorus, shine, make them wonder what you've got, make them wish you were not. On the outside looking board, shine, let it shine before all men. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Okay, so you may disagree that it was fine poetry, but it's one of my favorite songs. And apparently after this week, it's one of my boys' favorite songs too. So we're going to look at three different areas. First of all, we're going to start in Luke chapter 9. So if you have your Bible and you want to turn with me there, Luke chapter 9, verses 10 through 17. One thing that happened was Jesus helped people with physical needs. We're going to kind of look at that, see how that relates to ministry. Starting in verse 10, when the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Beersheba. But the crowds learned about it and followed him and welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowds away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied to them, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so. And everyone sat down, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. So let's look at some of the ministry things that happened in this passage. Obviously, there were spiritual ministries that were happening. If you look at verse 11, the start of it, he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. What were the people seeking him out for? This wasn't the first time Jesus had ministered publicly. In this case, people specifically sought him out. He spoke to them about the kingdom of God. He shared a spiritual message. They're probably interested in what he had to say. Some of them were probably interested in how they disagreed with him. What's he going to say next? What's he going to be mean to us about? But there were some people that were probably there saying, "You know what? I've learned something." They've seen him do this in the past. They've seen him work in the past. Second part of verse 11. And he healed those who needed healing. There are probably some people there that came for the simple fact that they said, "Hey, I need healing. I've seen Jesus do this before." He did it again. There are probably people there that saw that didn't necessarily need healing, but were the same thing. What's he going to do this time? Who's he going to help? How many people went to receive a physical need and left with a spiritual truth? That's an important question here. Basic physical needs. Food. I love his response. What do you think you would have been, how your response to Jesus would have been if he said, "You give them food"? Well, we've got 4 loaves and 2 fish. We've got some donuts in the back. I can't do the same thing that Jesus did. But imagine if we had a box of donuts and Jesus turned them into 12 baskets full of extras. They'd probably get pretty sticky in the baskets, just saying. The disciples and Jesus both realized that the people listening had a physical need. What would have happened if they wouldn't have been fed? Another question. Would people have been interested in listening? If I do speak for 2 hours, how many of you have a roast in the crock pot or in the oven or are going somewhere? And after about the first hour and a half, you're probably going to be pretty hungry. Are you going to listen to me? Probably not. It's kind of interesting when we start thinking about how Jesus reached out to people. We see him here taking care of physical ailments. We see him taking care of some of those basic human needs. And because of that, people heard or paid attention to him. Okay, how many think it's too warm in here? Okay, how many think it's too cold in here? Okay, if you're too cold right now, my suggestion is sit in a corner because it's always 90 degrees there. We're getting good groans here. So I've had the chance in the last couple of weeks to sit at both a baseball game and a soccer match where it was raining and cold, and I wasn't really excited about doing that. Had the opportunity to sit out yesterday morning in a beautiful day and enjoy a soccer match. Because those physical things were satisfied, I was able to pay attention to what was going along around me. Application one, because Jesus helped people with physical needs, he had the opportunity to share spiritual truths. Ministry is not always standing up and saying, hey, this is what you could learn, or this is what I have to share with you. Sometimes it's helping somebody. Okay, we're going to jump to Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. Jesus went to those outside of the religious groups. A lot of times his ministry was in the temple, but a lot of what we see was ministry outside of this. This is the story of Jesus recruiting one of his disciples. So Luke 5, starting with verse 27. After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. Follow me, Jesus said to him. And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who belonged to their sect, complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance." We start thinking about who were the closest counterparts in Jesus' ministry throughout his life. We see in verse 27, Levi, a tax collector, follow me. Think about the group of disciples. Within that, we had folks like Levi, who were a tax collector, which wasn't necessarily a well-respected profession at that point. Some of the individuals were respectable. There were others that were not very honest. Think about fishermen, kind of a rough crowd. Think about other people. He did have some individuals that were very learned. There's some that we don't know much about. But most of his disciples that we see throughout the Gospels are folks outside of that traditional circle. It's interesting. Levi brought in a different group of acquaintances. Verse 29, then Levi had a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. Here's my comment that says, hey, you know what? Food will get people places they wouldn't otherwise go. A free meal. A food truck coming through, passing out food. It's interesting food, too. I have the opportunity to work with a lot of schools. And one thing that's become very popular is being able to provide food for families and the students that go to the school. Because educators will say, if a child comes hungry, they're not ready to learn. They're not ready to listen. They're worried about what's not in their stomach. So Levi had a great banquet. These were probably people that he knew, friends, family, coworkers, people similar to himself. It's interesting. I wonder how many of these people would have had a chance to talk to Jesus or listen to Jesus had Levi not invited them, had he not offered them food. Think about the group of people. How did the Pharisees react? They're kind of like, I don't know about this group. These people are not the people that we want around. This is not a good group of people. Verse 30, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" This group probably would not have been welcomed very well into a temple setting. They were in a setting that they were offered the opportunity to hear some spiritual truths. And I think one of the most important things that we can see out of this is the fact that Jesus always sought reconciliation first. He didn't say, "You've done wrong. You're done." He said, "You've done wrong. Here's the way that we can make that right." Verse 31 and 32, Jesus answered them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The whole concept of reconciliation, there is a plan, there is a way that things can be made right. So application number two, thinking about Levi, thinking about the people that were there. One of our roles is to reach out to people outside of our normal circle. Let's look at a third scripture. We're going to go to John 3, probably a pretty familiar scripture. If I start a verse, can you finish it for me? "For God so loved..." Okay, very good. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but if you have time today, I would encourage you to maybe look through that and read it. Many of the most impactful conversations that Jesus had happened outside of the traditional church setting, outside of the traditional groups. First couple of verses of John chapter 3. "Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him.'" So we see Nicodemus here. He was very high up, prestige-wise, position-wise, in the Jewish religious culture. It's kind of interesting, you think about if Nicodemus would have been asking these questions. It says he came to Jesus at night. Probably not a whole lot of his counterparts around. How do you think they would have reacted to his question? Another question is, how would he have reacted to Jesus' answer? It appears, if I read this correctly, that he was very open to hearing what Jesus had to say. Remember last week we said people may not be comfortable asking a question. Part of the conversation was they may not be comfortable asking a question because they feel that everybody else in the room knows the answer. Probably not the case, but that's a pretty common assumption. They may not be comfortable asking that question as well if they know that the people surrounding them are not comfortable with that answer. This was an opportunity for Nicodemus to see Jesus outside of that traditional setting, get an answer, respond positively. I seriously doubt that Nicodemus's peers would have been very interested in hearing that answer. They already had their minds made up. It's interesting. There's a lot of folks that are not comfortable in a traditional church setting. I have some close friends that would never step foot in a church just because it's a church. Whatever reason, right, wrong, or indifferent, that's not something I can necessarily change. What are some of those reasons? People think, well, I'm not good enough. These people at church have it all together. I can tell you there's at least one person at church that does not have it all together. Some people feel guilty going into a church. Oh, I'm not good enough. I've sinned. I don't need to be there. I'm not welcomed. People may not accept me. What if nobody says hi? Or even worse, what if you're an introvert and somebody does say hi to you? What if you're treated unfriendly, judgmental? I don't know anyone there. I recently had the opportunity to go to a banquet and walk in and get a table assignment. And you're kind of like, I don't know about this. I don't know who I'm sitting with. Am I going to sit with somebody I know? Are they going to be friendly? We looked around, found our table assignment. It ended up being somebody that I know fairly well, a good friend. Changed the whole evening. I was also welcomed on the way in by a number of people. It can be difficult to join an established group. Sometimes we think about, well, this group has been meeting for 20 years or 30 years or 40 years or 2 months, but they're established. I think it's a much different conversation to say, hey, this is the first meeting of this group. Everybody come. Everybody comes in on the same level. People are more comfortable doing that. We see another common thread here, getting back to Nicodemus's conversation. The miracles Jesus performed got Nicodemus's attention. Second part of verse 2, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Again, there's a physical need. A spiritual message is able to be shared because of that. Application 3 that I take from this. We can help by meeting people where they are comfortable and receptive. If they're not comfortable sitting in a church, maybe they're comfortable sitting in a setting outdoors. This morning we had the opportunity to have our first boat church. It may be more comfortable for somebody to pull up in a boat, be able to hear a message, and leave. Somebody may accidentally hear that. We also have donuts there. Just saying. And ducks, yes. So I think that's something interesting. We can help people by meeting them where they're comfortable and receptive. Conclusion. What is ministry outside the church? Let's look at the things we've talked about with Jesus. Jesus helped people with physical needs, basic human needs, food. Because of those, more people had the opportunity to hear a spiritual message. How can we continue in this spirit? So that's the thought that I want to leave you with today, is the concept of how can we, through our actions, as a result of our actions, through our words, share that message with others. Our three applications. Because Jesus helped people with physical needs, he had the opportunity to share spiritual truths. Application number 2, one of our roles is to reach out to people outside of our normal circle. Application 3, we can help by meeting people where they are comfortable and receptive. This is from John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So, going back to my song that Sandy has the tune running through her head, shine, make them wonder what you've got. Make them wish that they were not on the outside looking bored. Shine, let them shine before all men. Let them see good works and then let them glorify the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at some of the ministry activities you helped with, whether it be helping people with physical needs, whether it be helping folks with basic life needs, things like food. And then that gave the opportunity to share spiritual truths. We pray that you would help us as a church as we're in a time of looking into the future and looking at our community, looking at needs that exist and how we can serve, to be willing to look at those opportunities and to step up and be able to help our community around and thereby showing your light to people who may not otherwise hear it. Thank you for this time. Help us to use the example and help us to go. In your name, amen.